Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We'll begin our reading at verse 13, reading down to 36. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the tidings, or rather the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they spake thus, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's pause for a moment prayer. Father, as we now stand, have the word of God open. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be with us tonight. Open our understanding to the word of God. We pray that the scriptures will reveal to us things that perhaps are kept away from our minds because of hardness of heart or slowness to understand all the things that the Spirit of God would speak to us. We ask of thee, Lord, to settle our minds and hearts for these brief moments that are left in the service, and that the affairs of tomorrow, problems that will be associated with it, will not intrude upon this sacred hour. Bless us, we pray. And may our souls be stirred as we think again on a topic and subject that may be very familiar to our minds. And yet, let our hearts be warmed and let us be drawn out to run after the Savior, that we might understand more of His purposes in our lives. We might see Him glorified on a day-by-day basis. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Come near to us. Challenge our hearts by the things of God. Bless us now, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Lord, one more thing. We pray that if any are in our meeting tonight and don't know the Savior, they've never come to trust Him, then we would pray that tonight would be the night where they would meet the Lord for the first time, come to an understanding of who He really is. Hear us, Lord, tonight, we pray, and continue with us now, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The events that are surrounding this chapter are very familiar events. And one of the important things for us to remember when we consider the events of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was that this was in no way a second thought. This was not an alternative plan that God had when His first plan failed. Christ is said to have been slain from before the foundation of the world. And the cross of Christ is the center of the universe. Paul said to the Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so the cross of Christ becomes the hinge upon which all humanity and all of creation turns. Every Old Testament saint looked forward to the time of the coming of the Messiah. Every Old Testament saint looked forward to the time when Christ would be crucified, who was predicted for to come. And we, from our vantage point, now are able to look back and say, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, for He has sent His Son. The task has been accomplished. The work has been finished. And Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He ever lives to make intercession, to pray for us. The events of this chapter and of the portion that we have read, they come to us, and as we look at them now, we can say, how blind were these disciples? How dull they were? They had spent so much time with the Lord, and yet they didn't know Him. They didn't realize the events that were prophesied and predicted for to come. I want us to think tonight of the accounts of the verses we have read and go through them and draw out some lessons, some things that we can see from the lives of these two men that walked on the road to Emmaus, and of the events that are surrounding this time, and of the stranger who drew near to them. The first thing I want you to think about with me is that they recounted the events. Verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Can you put yourself and your mind to what it would be like if today those same events that happened 2,000 years ago were being reported in the Jerusalem Post? Seeing of the satellite that we have today, the communication, what kind of news coverage would have followed an event like the crucifixion? We follow the news today and they cover briefly the Easter events and briefly the Christmas events on the news, doing lip service, I think. But think back to the 3 years of ministry of Christ. Think about the events that were occurring, about the miracles that had come to pass. Those things which could not be argued against by all the forensic evidence that would be applied to those events. So there would have been a building up for that 3-year period and of these news events which would have swept the world. And then we come to the crucifixion. All the trial that would have occurred, Him going, Christ being abused, and I'm sure the world would have put their own spin upon it as they always do, but most certainly those events would have been worldwide news. Everyone would have been talking about it. Everyone who had access to communication. And so these disciples, as they're walking along the road, as they're recounting these events that were so much in the forefront of their minds. And then this stranger comes near. It shocked them to realize that a person would have been in this vicinity at all and was not aware of what was going on. Of course, we know the stranger. We know that he knew all about these events. But he wanted to find out where their heart was. He wanted them to know where their hearts were. He wanted them to tell him exactly what they were thinking. And so they were recounting all these events. And then as we move on in the chapter, we find out that they reasoned. They didn't just recount them, but they reasoned. And we're looking at verses from verse 18 down to 24. And all the events whereby, in fact, it tells us very clearly there in verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. What were they reasoning? I'm sure they were going over all the events and they would turn them over again and again, and they would hear the words that Christ spoke to them about what He was going to do, how He was going to suffer and die. And now He's dead. And all the messages that they heard Christ preaching, all the situations that were told to Him. You see, they were with the Lord in His life. They beheld the miracles of Christ firsthand, not secondhand. They saw those who were crippled get up from their crippled state from birth. They saw those blind from birth receive sight. They knew that Christ was doing real miracles. They saw the Lord's mercy to those who were helpless. They observed His manner of life. They listened to His ministry and His various messages. Oh, He was a prophet, mighty indeed. Verse 19, as they begin to tell this stranger, and He said unto them, what things have happened? And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And so they began to relay to this stranger the life of Christ. They began to relay all that they knew about Him. Still surprised, perhaps, that anyone could be around who would not know of these events, as these were not just for Jerusalem, but they were for all Judea. They were for Samaria. These events would have been known far and wide. And then they went on to think about the events of the crucifixion itself. Verse 18. And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. Condemned, crucified. All these events that were turning over so much in their minds. And they reasoned as they continued thinking and turning these things over. And they went on to relay to the stranger there, as it says in verse 21, but we trusted. And here's where their doubt begins to come in. But we trusted. But we had hoped, it's all gone now, but we had only depended upon this one to deliver us and to deliver Israel from this Roman occupation that we so much have hated for years and years, this bondage. But we trusted. But now, it's all over. It's finished. This Jesus, whom we trusted and followed after, and as they were reasoning among themselves, now He is dead. He is gone. And in the same breath, as they said, the one who we had trusted to deliver Israel, beside all this, now today is the third day, and still nothing had happened. They knew very well that Christ had predicted to them on the third day He would rise again. And here's the third day, in the afternoon of the third day, and they don't see anything. They don't know anything. Well, that's not exactly true, because they had heard a report. But to them it was a rumor. To them it was something that these women had seen, gone to the grave, and the body was not there, and a vision of angels. But they were unbelieving. They reasoned among themselves. And in their unbelief, when they found not the body, His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but Him they saw not. And so, you see, they reasoned over the life of Christ. They reasoned over the events of the crucifixion. They reasoned about the deliverance of Israel, which now they saw was not going to materialize. They reasoned, and in their unbelief, they were turning these things over and over and over in their minds. And then the Lord steps in. And here is the rebuke of the Lord. Verse 25. He says to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Before we become too critical of these people, I would challenge you, how many times is it that God has spoken a message to you from His Word? You've heard from the pulpit, and you have gone home. You have said, that is a word for me. I am blessed by that word. And within a week's time, or maybe less, you have forgotten completely that word to your own heart. And by the time 2 weeks have passed, you are already doubting. You are in a situation, a circumstance that the Lord has already given you an answer, but you begin to doubt immediately. How many times is it that the Lord has to say to us over and over and over again by one message after another message on the same point, and yet we are still dull of hearing? We still don't pay attention. We must learn that lesson over and over again. And so He said, as the rebuke comes, I believe the rebuke comes to us. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. To look at the Word of God and to take it to heart. To lay it on our own account and consider the things that God has spoken to us. We're slow to take those things upon us. Ah, but there's something else here. And it's the revelation of the Word of God. Verse 27. The Lord, after saying to these people, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now, when the word Scriptures here is used, it is not referring to the New Testament. It was not written. It is referring to the Old Testament. The Old Testament was broken into three different categories or sections. The Law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. And then the prophets, those who would speak, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, the minor prophets and the major prophets together. And then a third category was the Psalms. And if you look over in verse 44 of the same chapter, the Lord said, and He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The three different categories of the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And so now, as this Bible lesson begins, and what a lesson it was, Christ begins to reveal the Word of God to these two as they walked along the road to Emmaus. And the first place He goes is to Moses, and beginning at Moses. Now, what did Moses have to say about the suffering, about the death, about the person and the work of Jesus Christ? He had much to say about it. And if you were to turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, you would find the very first prophecy of the coming of Christ. The prophecy that was spoken about the seed of the woman bruising the seed of the old serpent. And that seed of the woman was the Messiah that was to come. Right after the sin in the Garden of Eden, God gave to them a word. And the word was a deliverer would come. A Messiah would be sent. Little did Eve know, or Adam for that matter, it would be 4,000 years approximately from that time until Christ would come. In the fullness of time. Not only Genesis 3 and 15, but also in Numbers 21 verse 9, the story of the serpent being lifted up. Do you remember when the people were bitten because of their sin by the fiery serpents? And God told Moses to prepare this brazen serpent and hold it up, and anyone who looked at that brazen serpent would be healed from the poison of the serpents. The significant thing is that we look into the New Testament and we find in John chapter 3 that very image of the serpent being lifted up on that pole was used as an identification of Christ being lifted up upon the cross. And all who look to Him will be saved. And friend, maybe you are here tonight and you don't know Christ. You have never come to an experience of Him in your life and heart. Then I compel you today to look unto Christ. Look to the cross of Christ as He is held up, because there's the only remedy for your sin. The only answer to the need of your soul's salvation. It is found alone in Jesus Christ. Not only in Genesis and in Numbers, but also in Deuteronomy. We find that in chapter 18 and verse 18, Moses speaks about the one who was the prophet like unto himself, and that prophet was the one to whom the people would listen. That prophet is none other than the Christ of God. And if we look not only in the section of the prophets, or rather the section of the law of Moses, we turn now to the prophets. And I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. There are a few verses I want to show you from the section of the prophets. And it would be very helpful to you if you mark these in your Bible as a way of cross-referencing specific verses that refer to Christ. And in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." The Lord our righteousness. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34 verses 23 and 24. "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." Now you will know that David has long since passed away when this prophecy is being spoken. This is not referring to the temporal David. It's referring to the greater David, unto Christ. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 and verses 1 to 4. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Now these verses are directly quoted in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18 and following. Exactly these verses are quoted from Isaiah 42 and verse 1. "Behold my servant." Behold. Look to him. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." God is saying to us, "Behold my servant, and look unto him." And in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, it speaks there about an everlasting kingdom that would be set up. And Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, "He called my son out of Egypt," a direct reference to the time when Joseph and Mary would flee unto Egypt because of the persecution of Herod in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15. So we find that not only in the books of Moses, but in the prophets, Christ is spoken about. What about the Psalms? The Psalms are so numerous to speak of Christ. In Psalm 16 verse 10, it says there that he will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Speaking about the time when Christ would be crucified and he would be in the grave for that period of time, and yet his body would not suffer corruption. In Psalm 22 and verse 1, the famous portion speaking about the crucifixion itself, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The whole of Psalm 22 speaks in detail, "All of my bones are out of joint." And then, what of Psalm 24? Psalm 24 pictures the image of Christ returning back to heaven again after he has ascended, and the gates of heaven opening wide to receive Christ back into glory again. This Bible study that these two disciples received on that day, this Bible study was like none other, because it was the revelation of the written Word, by the incarnate Word concerning the Word Himself. It was the revelation of the written Word by the incarnate Word concerning the Word Himself. And Psalm 40 verse 7 says that in the volume of the book it is written of me. And Paul picks it up in Hebrews again, chapter 10 and verse 7, saying that in the volume of the book it is written of Christ. You see, from Genesis 3:15 right through to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation, the entire book of the Bible is written of Christ. And here, in Luke 24, the Lord makes that so clear to us today, so clear to those two men. And after they had received this from the Lord, we find the reluctance of the disciples to let the Lord go. We find that in verse 29. For they said, they constrained Him saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. He made as if He was going to go on. Remember now, they still don't know it's the Lord. He's still a stranger. But they can't believe what they've been hearing. They've never heard anything like this before. This opening of the Word of God. This revelation of the Christ of God. From the beginning of the book right through to the Malachi where they were up to that point. They had never heard anything like it. And they were reluctant to let the Lord go. And they constrained Him to abide with us. That term, abide with us, those three words inspired Henry Francis Light to write that great hymn, abide with me, fast falls the eventide. We'll sing that hymn as our closing hymn tonight. They constrained the Lord to continue with them because their hearts were burning, they were excited. The depression that they had been feeling now had all vanished away. Their hearts had been so stirred at this point. They were so reluctant to let the Lord go. Have you ever known a time like that? Has the Lord ever drawn strangely near to you in your Christian experience? No one else is around. You're closed. You're alone with Christ. And you bid Him not to leave you. Has your heart ever really burned because of the presence of Christ with you? If you have never known that, then pray that God would reveal Himself to you. Pray that the love of Christ would be revealed to you in your own heart, in the private place, in the quiet place, so that you might know what it is to commune with Him. Because when you experience Christ like that in the quiet place, then you'll be able to go out with confidence, not fearing the face of the enemy, not fearing the face of any man, because you have seen the face of Christ. And you'll be able to go forward. And you'll be able to witness, not fearing whether someone will reject your witness or not. That's not important. What they think about us is irrelevant. Let us go forward with a desire to speak for Him. If we have spent time with the Lord, if we have come to tarry with Him, then we will be able to go forward conquering and to conquer. The last point I leave with you is the Savior revealed. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. How did they know Him? Their eyes were opened when the Lord broke bread with them. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. four simple things. These are the same words that the Apostle Paul quotes in 1 Corinthians 11. We quote every time we come to have our communion, our time around the table of the Lord. Four simple things. The Lord took the bread. He blessed it, gave thanks for it. He broke it, and He gave it. You see, it was the picture of Calvary that opened the eyes of these disciples. It was bringing them back to the cross, and that's where they saw. That's how they knew the Lord. It was there. And you see, if we will experience the revelation of Christ in our life, if we will know what it is to go on with Him, we will see Him revealed to us at the cross. We will see Him revealed to us as the bread is broken, because that speaks to us of Calvary. And there, their hearts were touched, because they said after, when the Lord vanished from them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, their hearts were touched, all right. Their hearts had been touched because they had communed with the Lord. And He was revealed to them. And their hardened hearts, their reluctant hearts, their stubborn hearts, their blinded minds, it was all passed away now, for they knew Him. They knew He had risen from the dead. You'll notice in the testimony that follows after, there was no more question of doubt now. It was not just the reputation, or rather the report of the other women. It was now their report. And they had gone back to where the Lord, where the disciples were. And they spoke those words. And they told them all the things that had happened unto them. And you read the following verses of the chapter. You see, as the Lord commissioned them and sent them out, there was a great change in those people. Look at the last verse of the chapter. It says, and they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Their hearts and lives were changed, and changed forever. My friend, if you know the Lord tonight, have you ever experienced that closeness of communion with Him? If not, pray, Lord, bring me into a deeper experience of a love for Christ. Bring me into a deeper understanding of Him revealed in the Word. And I'm not talking about something that's an emotional high. I'm speaking about something that is real from the Scripture. And you will find Christ in the Word. Remember that as He spoke to those disciples, He told them from the Word of God. That's the important fact. And if you want to know Christ, you will know Him in the Word. That's where you will find Him. And may the Lord give to us a deeper understanding, a deeper desire to walk closer to Him and to know more of Him as He is revealed to us in His own precious and holy Word.